There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You can live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforumc.org.
Yo, what's good? What's happening, Rush Nation? We're back. Welcome to episode 82 of 5-Yard College. I say we're back because he's back. Middle Earth has released our Ash. Welcome back, my man. How was Middle Earth? How are you?
Yeah, it was delightful as always. I'm doing good though. Doing good. Glad to be back in good old Somerset and back on the podcast. It's been a couple of weeks since we've spoken to each other because obviously you weren't here the week before last. So. Yeah,
exactly. And it was a little bit up in the air whether I was going to make tonight with my wife contracting COVID yesterday. So we went down your way. Ironically, we didn't go down to Devon for 2 years because we didn't want to take COVID down.
Yeah.
To see Emma's mum. And then we go down to Devon for, unfortunately, Emma's mum's funeral. And Emma gets COVID down there at the funeral of Emma's mum. So if there was ever irony to be had, that was it right there. But we're both here. It's episode 22. The season is finished. The Natty's done. That's well in our rearview mirrors now. It's draft season, baby, and the top 100 starts today. We'll get to that a little bit later, Ash. I'll let you tell any new listeners that might have jumped on board since the last top 100 what that is all about when we get to it. We got a bit of news and transfers to get to first, a few declarees, and then the big time 100 starts. Let's hit the first bit of news. Chip Kelly has agreed to a new 4-year deal with UCLA. Kelly had 1 year left on his previous deal and is coming off as his best finish with UCLA this season with an 8-4 record, and that's since 2018. So big news for Chip Kelly and UCLA.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I think it was only last season that there was rumours that they were going to be getting rid of him. He stayed on. They improved greatly this year. He's staying in town for another 4 years with this new contract, I think. I don't know, it's still surprising. He's not had the best of times in his tenure there. I think he's 18-25 is his record in 4 seasons so far. So it's not the sort of thing you really expect to see from UCLA, but there has been improvements this season in particular. The roster's looking in a relatively good shape. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the quarterback, is staying next season, as is Zach Charbonnet, the transfer junior running back, is deciding not to declare for the draft and staying for one more year. So they've got their running back, quarterback tandem. Yeah, it's going to be, hopefully, I mean, an improvement on them for 2022.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Charbonnet deciding to return to school was against the grain of most people's thought process. I know Jord had already written up his player profile for the website, and unfortunately, now we can't use that. So it just highlights how difficult, not difficult, but how challenging the doing hundreds and player profiles and stuff like that can be, because it's, you're constantly having to stay on top of it, constantly having to repair holes that are left by players returning to school or not declaring and stuff like that. So it's tricky to say the least. Moving on, Iowa have extended Kirk Ferentz's contract by 4 years through 2029. That feels like a long, long time away, Ash. Continuing the longest tenured active FBS coach, Ferentz finished his 23rd season with a 10-4 record and a bowl game loss to Kentucky. So Kirk Ferentz is going nowhere yet again.
No, he's sticking around for a good few more years, and we're getting close to his 30th year when that contract expires. Good year from them. They started off on fire, as we well documented in previous podcasts. Number two ranked at one point, took a little bit of a dip, and unfortunately, end of the year with that bowl game loss. But Ferentz, what he's done there has been incredible through his tenure. He's got 178 wins to 110 losses. Bowl games are a bit of interesting for him and Iowa. He's been to 18 as the Iowa head coach. He's got a 9-9 record, but he has led Iowa to 10 top 25 finishes in the AP rankings. So he's done a really impressive job there, and regularly the conveyor belt of players from Iowa going into the NFL under Ferentz. And that's going to continue this year with when we get into our top 100, we're going to see a few more guys in 2022 in the NFL. And once again, he's done an incredible job. And 23 years at one program is an incredible achievement in itself. But to be successful majority of his tenure there, yeah, he's done a great job to date.
Yeah, I mean, we see it when teams get offered in the NFL. They offer coaches 10-year deals like Gruden and Rule and stuff like that, and they pretty much never come to fruition. So for him to be into his 24th season next year is a remarkable feat in itself. And then, yeah, unfortunately, Iowa became part of the five-yard curse of the college podcast, where we talk about somebody in a good light and the next week or so they dramatically fall away or completely disappear completely. So, yeah. It's a big move for Iowa, and as you say, we'll see a few of their players later on. Todd Graham has resigned as the University of Hawaii's football head coach, stepping down amid controversy after completing the second year of a five-year contract. Graham resigned a week after former players and some parents testified before a state legislative hearing criticising the coach management style and relationships with players. That seems like a huge thing to do, to go and testify in a hearing about a coach's managerial style and relationship with players. So it must have been bad, because more than a dozen players have entered the transfer portal. Graham gave up a $1.275 million buyout by resigning, and assistant coach Jakob Joro will serve as interim head coach while the school searches for a replacement. So not good news. This doesn't sound like a good thing at all, Ash, for Todd Graham.
No, not at all. As you said, allegations of misconduct between the way he treated the players, and there was a hearing. It all came out start of December. A couple of former players basically went onto Twitter, that the new Twitter space discussion that Twitter brought out, and made the allegations initially, and it got, as you say, all the way to a hearing, and it resulted in obviously Graham leaving. But yeah, 17 players entered the transfer portal since November. So there was clearly something up. And obviously, despite Hawaii staying supportive of Graham throughout the whole proceedings, he's decided to resign. Probably before he was pushed after a hearing. It's always difficult waters for a coach to remain. So yeah, he's decided to walk before he was pushed, I can imagine.
I wonder if we see any of the people entering the portal jump back to Hawaii with the news that Graham's gone.
Potentially, yeah.
Right. Let's talk some transfers, Ash. One of the standout players in the Pac-12 this year, Oregon's running back Travis Dye, is reportedly entering the transfer pool. Dye was the leading Pac-12 scrimmage yardage leader with 1,673 yards. 1,271 of those were rushing, 402 receiving. They had 18 touchdowns. He is reportedly weighing up staying in college for his final year or declaring early for the 2022 draft. So if he did declare, I think that's both Oregon running backs, Dye and Vidal, entering the draft this year.
It is, yeah, yeah. If he declares, then they're both in the draft. If he doesn't, I mean, it looks like he's going to be transferring. So it's quite a big shock, to be honest. New head coach in town. Obviously, Vidal injured a lot of last year and now leaving. This was Dye's role. This was his final time. Like, this was next year, on top of what he already did this year, to really make a name for himself as the main guy in Oregon. But I mean, he may take the opportunity to go straight in to the draft. He's got until the end of the day today to declare. That's just an insight for any listeners. The Monday the 17th, when we're recording this, is the deadline for undergraduates to declare for the draft. So we could still hear Dye's name go into the NFL draft. But if not, it looks like he's going to finish his career in college at another program, which I find very surprising.
Yeah. So as Ash said, there will be news breaking between when we record this and when the podcast is released. So obviously don't hold us accountable for the time-space continuum that we are not in for that one. But yeah, interesting one. I wonder whether Mario Cristobal's departure from Oregon was perhaps the reason for that, with him heading down to Miami. Or, I mean, he had an absolutely stellar year, as we've seen. And I don't know whether something happened to make him think that with players entering the draft, there'll be openings in teams that could showcase his skills better, perhaps. Or I don't know, but we see the big schools where they have freshmen and stuff like that, five-star high school recruits coming in. So for him to leave a position that was locked in and his due to not only merit, but being the lead back in the stable as well, it's a big decision for Travis Dye. And I personally think by the end of today, we'll see him in the draft rather than transferring, because it doesn't, well, for me, it wouldn't make sense to do so the other way around.
No, it's a good opportunity for him after the year he had. And if he, I think the backfield in Oregon is quite crowded for next year. But Dye is the standout now Vidal's gone. So he could still well stay. Dan Lanning is said in his press conference on Friday that he wants to keep as many of the players that are on the roster there. There are a number of players that are in the transfer portal, but obviously they've now got a new head coach in Dan Lanning, and he wants to keep hold of them. So it's quite a head scratcher, but if I was going to lean one way or the other, I would say he'd be going into the draft. But it's weird for him to enter the portal with the draft still being an option.
Do you think he's given himself the best of both worlds with that one, entering the portal? Okay. Like, he's maybe leaning towards entering the draft, but he's thought, well, maybe let's see if anyone offers me anything just before I get in, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is. Yeah, keeping his options open. So exactly. That seems to be the way he's going.
Somebody who hasn't kept his options open and has committed to another team is running back Noah Kane. He's committed to LSU following three seasons at Penn State. Kane is returning home as a native of Baton Rouge. So big time news for LSU, considering some of their losses.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a big addition for LSU. And I'm not surprised with this one from Noah Kane. He started the year as the starting running back, but he quickly started to lose snaps to Kayvon Lee. Kane continued to be the starter, but a lot of his work was eaten into. I think they, across 13 games, finished with about the same attempts, 100 and so attempts between them. And Lee was the more impressive of the two, in my opinion, at least anyway. So he doesn't want to have another battle like that next season. And as you say, LSU have lost a number of players, and the job is potentially there for him to win, because I can't remember the running back, Davis Prince, has from LSU, has declared for 2022. So there is the spot is open there at the running back position, and it may well be Kane's to lose.
Cool. And then finally, Alabama tight end Jahiel Billingsley has announced his transfer to Texas for the 2022 season. Billingsley is reuniting with Sarkisian at Texas after struggling to make an impact in 2021 under Nick Saban, starting only one game. Yeah. Wow, I didn't realise. Hey, he played in the Natty, though, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He did. He was involved in most of the games for Bama this year, but he only started as he was only a starter in one of those. But he had limited work. He only finished with 17 receptions, I believe, on the year. It just, I don't know what happened, because his sophomore year, as when Sarkisian was there as the OC, that he looked like he was going to be ready for a breakout year in 2021, and then just it just didn't seem to happen. Whether he's fallen out with Saban or he didn't get along well with Bryce Young, and that had an impact on it. It's a strange one that this has transpired. Cameron Latu, the tight end for Alabama, was the main guy for them this year, which I think a lot of people found surprising over Billingsley.
Yeah, and he was the main guy in the Natty once Jameson Williams went out injured.
Yeah.
So
not surprising. Yeah. Texas is a big get for Texas. If Sarkisian can get what he got out of him in his sophomore year at Bama, he'd be a great addition for them.
They got some pieces down there now at Texas.
Yeah.
Some really big pieces on offense. Right, let's get to some declarees. As I mentioned, Jameson Williams. Alabama's wide receiver Jameson Williams and offensive tackle Evan Neal have both declared for the 2022 draft. Not surprised with Evan Neal one tiny bit. Jameson Williams, I wasn't sure about because of his injury. Both are expected first round players, with Neal in consideration for a top five pick. I'd go so far as to say top three.
Yeah.
Williams' draft stock, as Jordan and I mentioned last week, may take a hit after it's announced that the injury sustained in the national championship game was a torn ACL. However, he is expected to make a full recovery, which is superb. And also, following Jameson Williams, John Metchie III and Slade Bolden have also declared. So some big-time players from Bama entering the draft. And we're going to have to see those sophomore and freshman wide receivers really step up for Alabama next year.
Yeah, definitely. Losing three of their main wide receivers for this year. Obviously, Metchie went down injured. When did he? Was it in the SEC championship game that he went down? Yeah, and then of course they lost Jameson Williams to the torn ACL as well. Slade Bolden's had a good good year for Alabama, but as you say, it's going to be an interesting year for them next year. But they're a conveyor belt of talent. They're going to have guys lining up ready to go for next season. I can't see it being a major issue. But it's going to be interesting to see who Bryce Young's going to be throwing the ball to, with Billingsley gone, Williams gone, Metchie, Bolden. I think they've still got Ja'Kari Brooks, the freshman, who looked impressive at times this year. Who else have they got? JoJo Earl, another freshman. But again, these guys are younger, but they've had appearances this year. They're going to be a year older, and there's always going to be guys that are going to step up for Bama. So probably not too concerned, but three massive pieces there. Four, including Evan Neal on the offense that are leaving this year for Bama.
Yeah, isn't there a Hall guy as well? A wide receiver Hall, somebody Hall.
Can't think off the top of my head.
I'm pretty sure he played in the Natty. Anyway, talking of Bama, they're going to be keeping hold of four defensive starters after safeties Jordan Battle and DeMarco Helms, linebacker Henry Tuatoa.
Toa Toa,
cool. And defensive lineman DJ Dale are all staying in school. So whilst they're losing positions on the offense, they're keeping hold of four starters, which is big time news for the Alabama defense.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, Toa Toa, it's a little bit surprising that he's not declared, but Jordan Battle is I'm very surprised he's decided to go back to school, because he was one of the top safeties in this 2022 class. But he's going back to school for another year, so he could come out as the top safety in 2023 if he has another year like he did in 2022.
Okay, Georgia's All-American linebacker N'Kobe Dean has announced he is foregoing his senior year and is entering the 2022 draft. So, N'Kobe, I'm pleased you did that before we recorded this, because that could have been a bit of news that we might have missed. Dean has an impressive junior year, winning the Butkus Award, which is the top linebacker, along with the national championship. He is expected to be a first-round pick and the first linebacker off the board, Ash.
Yeah, I think the year he's had with Georgia, not only winning the national championship, but the Butkus Award as the top linebacker. You just go and watch his tape, the Michigan game, the Natty. I mean, just go back and pick up a Georgia game and watch N'Kobe Dean. He's been phenomenal this year. And I would be very shocked if he isn't the first linebacker off the board. Devin Lloyd is in consideration for that as well. But yeah, I mean, N'Kobe Dean has just had a phenomenal season. And I think wherever he lands in the NFL, he's going to be an impressive talent. And unsurprising that he's declared off the back of that year.
Yeah, not at all. Okay, Ash, we've spent the last 19 minutes talking for the news. People didn't come for the news this week. They've come for the top 100. Let's do it. If you are new, Rush Nation, to the top 100, Ash, what do people need to know about this?
So the top 100 is essentially the top 100 players of the 2022 draft. I wouldn't say it will tally up exactly to what our mock drafts look like, because of course they're based on team needs, etc. But this is the top 100 best players, in our opinion, that are going to be in the 2022 draft. This is a consensus combined top 100 from a lot of the writers. Last year we had five or six of us doing it, and I think the same again this year. There's six or so of us that have given our individual top 100s. And then as a result, this is the combined of all of us. So if you ask George, his may look slightly different to this and to mine. But this is what we've managed to come up with between all of us based on our own individual rankings. And it's always fun. If you look at any of the big time platforms, they have their own big boards, they call them top 100 down to top 300, depending on where you look, that breaks down all of the best players. And this is our version of that. And following on from this, there'll be player reviews of each of these players that are in the top 100 for a bit more of a deep dive into them individually, their draft profile and their draft stock and where we expect them to go, and a lot of information, but a lot of work goes into this as well.
Yeah, we should mention who's done this as part of this first 100. Is Ash, obviously, Jord, Jack, and then Maze has come back and has submitted an entry for this 100. Jake and I were supposed to have done it. Jake has been busy at work, and I just didn't get round to it. So I apologise, Rush Nation, but my skewed offensive vision for the top 100 hasn't influenced this one. So expect the next one to look slightly different as we go forward, because defensive players don't really get too much of my viewing. Well, they didn't last year. I don't know whether that will change, Ash. I do like the defensive side of the ball. I'm here to be swayed. It could well change, but with my
Yeah, I mean, that works out quite well, because I'm more of the defensive side and I say that the defensive side and the offensive linemen, so you can take the offensive players. There we go.
That suits me down to the ground. So what we're going to do, Rush Nation, obviously there's 100 players. That's a lot to talk about in one podcast. We thought we'd run you through our initial 100 from 100 to 1. And then we'll talk about the top 10 in some... I say we will. Ash has made a load of notes. I'm going to let him take the top 10, because it would only be fair that I didn't steal his notes. And then I will... I'll pipe in if there's anybody that I feel needs to be touched on a little bit more. So, Ash, with you taking the top 10...
Yeah.
I've done a quick calculation, and I think I should do the first 10.
Yes, I think that sounds right.
Yeah, that looks right from the colouring on this sheet.
That's how I've worked out. I thought you were trying to do it as if we hadn't already decided who was doing what.
Well, no, I wanted full transparency here, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
As we get to the end, because it would only be fair on your good self. Okay, at 100, how are we going to read these out? How do you want me to read these out? Just name, position, and school.
Yes, I would. Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, so at 100, we've got... There's some serious names here, Rush Nation. At 100 is Javon Haley.
Healy. Yeah.
He's a wide receiver for Coastal Carolina. At 99, Zachary Carter, defensive tackle, Florida. 98, Smoke Monday, probably the best name in this draft, unless I come across another one, safety from Auburn. At 97, Rasheed Walker, offensive tackle, Penn State. 96, Brian Asamoah, linebacker, Oklahoma. 95, Boye Mafe, edge, Minnesota. At 94, Verone McKinley, safety, Oregon. 93, a name I know, Bailey Zapp, quarterback, Western Kentucky. That seems low for the man who just set loads of records for the FDS. 92, Cade Otton, tight end, Washington. And finally, Rashad White, running back, Arizona State at 91.
Good. No, that's good. You got, I didn't butcher any of those names. Now it's my turn, and I probably will butcher most of them. So
number 83 is going to be a surprise how you reel off that one.
Yeah, I know. I'm bracing myself for that one. But in at 90, Lecticus Smith, offensive guard from Virginia Tech. At 89, and probably a bit low for the moment, George Pickens, wide receiver, Alabama. But of course, he's missed the whole year due to injury. That's always going to take. Well, and it's only just decided, I mean, he's only just declared, so that's probably retrospect of that, unsure on his declaration, injury. I can expect him a lot higher when we do these again. 88, Alec Lindstrom, offensive center from Boston College. 87, Wandale Robinson, wide receiver, Kentucky. 86, Kobe Bryant, cornerback from Cincinnati. 85, Jackson Kirkland, defensive tackle from Washington. 84, Justin Ross, wide receiver from Clemson. Another injury probably had a big impact on that ranking. 83, Philandrian Mathis, defensive lineman from Alabama. 82, Chad Muma, linebacker from Wyoming. And 81, Jerome Ford, running back from Cincinnati.
Well done.
Thank you.
I would have got a slightly different... I think I probably would have called Chad Mama, just because I think that would
Chad Mama. Yeah, Chad Mama's probably better, isn't it?
Okay, at 80, we've got Logan Hall, edge from Houston. 79, Jamari Salia, inside offensive lineman from Georgia. 78, Martin Emerson, cornerback, Mississippi State. 77, Michael Wright. I'm going to go with Mikhail. Yeah. All right. Mikhail Wright, cornerback, Oregon. 76, Abraham Lucas, offensive tackle, Washington State. 75, Josh Job, cornerback, Alabama. Ooh, pairing of Alabama guys here. Then we have 74, John Metchie, the third wide receiver, Alabama. 73, Arnold Ibikiti.
Yeah, there's some, yeah.
Arnold Ibikiti, edge, Penn State. 72, Thayer Munford, inside offensive line, Ohio State. And then 71, Jalen Pitre, safety, Baylor.
Yeah, again, John Metchie, a lot like Justin Ross and George Pickens. I think injuries having an impact on those and these initial rankings. Want to really see how they recover from those and if they can get to the combine. And then I think John Metchie and George Pickens in particular can probably will probably be a bit higher when we come back and look at these. Did realise that I said George Pickens, Alabama. It's actually Georgia. So apologies to all of the Bulldogs out there, especially after just beating Bama in the national title. But anyway, we move on to 70. It's Jermaine Johnson, edge from Florida State. 69, Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle from Georgia. 68, one of my favourite tight ends from last year is actually coming out this year. Charlie Collar, tight end, Iowa State. 67, Tyler Algier, running back from BYU. 66, Derion Kendrick, cornerback from Georgia. 65, Jarrett Patterson, center from Notre Dame. 64, absolute man mountain. I think he's 6'9". Daniel Falele, offensive tackle from Minnesota. 63, Jalen Tolbert, wide receiver from South Alabama. 62, Haskell Garrett, defensive lineman from Ohio State. And 61, another national championship winner, Trayvon Walker, defensive tackle from Georgia.
Yeah, Tyler Algier at 67.
I reckon I had a big impact on that, you know.
I think on my individual one. I think he'd probably be higher if I'd have stuck my numbers in. I just had a quick look back, Ash, at your wide receiver rankings just to make sure you had Pickens above Mechie and also, who was the other wide receiver I mentioned before Pickens? Justin Ross. And you didn't. You had Pickens behind them both, which is...
I do at the moment, yeah.
He
only went in today. And I just want to know how he's recovered from his injury. But I think he'll go above Ross, undecided on Mechie yet. I need to watch a bit more tape of the two of them.
Fair play. At 60, we've got Nick Benito, Edge, Oklahoma. 59, Cameron Thomas, another Edge from San Diego State. At 58, Isaiah Spiller, running back, Texas A&M. 57, Desmond Ridder, quarterback, Cincinnati. At 56, Kyler Gordon, cornerback, Washington. Bernard Raymond, offensive tackle, Central Michigan. Go Chippewas. At 54, Sean Ryan, offensive tackle, UCLA. At 53, Lewis Sign, safety, Georgia. At 52, Romeo Doubs, wide receiver, Nevada. And then following on from that at 51, Carson Strong, quarterback, Nevada.
Yeah, big fan of Carson Strong, as a lot of people know. I'm glad to see him. I'm glad to see him in the top 100. I'm not surprised that he's in the top 100, but I'm glad to see him there. A little bit low for me, personally. however, I'll forgive everybody else. He's still not my top quarterback, though. I have got one quarterback above him on my own individual rankings. But anyway, sorry, we transgress. We are doing the combined top 100. At 50, Sam Williams, edge from Ole Miss. 49, Trey McBride, tight end from Colorado State. 48, Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty. 47, Kyren Williams, running back from Notre Dame. 46, Perrion Winfrey, defensive lineman from Oklahoma. 45, Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, offensive tackle from Ohio State. 44, Brandon Smith, linebacker from Penn State. 43, Isaiah Likely, tight end from Coastal Carolina. 42, Drake Jackson, edge from USC. And at 41, the highest ranked tight end, Jalen Widermeyer from Texas A&M.
Love that. Love that. At 40, oh, by the way, I've just had a look who you've got as your number one quarterback, and it's a bold play. Ash, bold play. I'm a big fan of it, by the way, but I think it's bold. I think it's a bold play. At 40, Roger McCreary, cornerback, Auburn. 39, Christian Harris, linebacker, Alabama. 38, Sam Howell, quarterback, UNC. Ash is shaking his head for those listening on the audio platform. 37, Zion Johnson, offensive guard, Boston College. 36, Darian Kennard, offensive tackle, Kentucky. 35, Kenneth Walker III, running back, Michigan State. That feels low, but anyway. 34, Trevor Penning, offensive tackle, Northern Iowa. 33, Myjai Sanders, edge, Cincinnati. 32, Jaquan Brisker, safety, Penn State. And then finally at 31, Breece Hall, running back, Iowa State.
Yeah, I was shaking my head. I've got Sam Howell in the 90s, 80s, I think.
Wowzers.
Yeah. I like him, just not over most of the other quarterbacks that we've already mentioned. But anyway, yeah, I think I don't know, Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, running backs this year, not 100% sold on any of them yet. I think the positions are comfortable for me in both of those. That's the order I've got them in as well.
Yeah.
I hope. Yeah, I definitely do. Yeah, Breece Hall and then Kenneth Walker. Anyway, onto 30 is Daxton Hill, safety from Michigan. 29, Trent McDuffie, cornerback from Washington. We've got a whole run of wide receivers in this 10. 28, Jaheim Dotson, wide receiver, Penn State. 27, David Bell, wide receiver, Purdue. 26, Kinsley Anagbar, edge from South Carolina. 25, Jameson Williams, who we spoke about earlier, wide receiver from Alabama. 24, Kenny Pickett, QB from Pitt. 23, Treylon Burks, wide receiver from Arkansas. 22, Kair Elam, cornerback from Florida. And 21, David Ojabo, edge from Michigan.
Okay. So if this was the first round of the NFL, well, we would be into the first round of the NFL now.
We are,
so. David Ojabo at 21, that is delightfully low for a player whose production this year was superb. Talking of delightfully low at 20, we've got N'Kobe Dean, linebacker from Georgia. That would be an absolute steal for me if you can get N'Kobe Dean, or in next place up 19, Devin Lloyd, linebacker, Utah. They feel low considering the top linebackers in the last few years have been in five top 10 picks. I mean, these two have shown their pedigree.
Yeah, they for across everybody's rankings, they're all around this sort of area. So they're obviously the combined is they're, most of them are a little bit higher. There's a couple that have pulled them down slightly, but yeah, I think it's for either of them, it would be a steal. But there's so many incredible players coming up that we haven't spoke about yet. It's so difficult to get the top 20 together, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah. What I'm hugely enjoying about this draft class that we not yet sold on, but are going to see, is in previous years, there's been players, there's been hyped up, you know, it's a quarterback class, or there's players that are going to be, they're going to be taken here or there. Whereas this year so far, apart from perhaps Kayvon Thibodeau early on in the year as number one, or Spencer Rattler, but that was like, see you later. This draft class is not understated, but it's underspoken of. So there's so many players in here that once we start talking about them and have a little bit of tape and stuff, it will be so much more exciting, which is great because we're not already sold as to who's going where yet, which I find really, really good.
Yeah.
At 18, we've got Ikem Ekwonu. Ekwonu.
I think Ekwonu, yeah.
Yeah. I know Ash is dedicated to his name, so when he says it, he just goes with it, whereas I like to process mine and let you all know how wrong I was initially. Inside offensive lineman from NC State. Next up, 17, my boy Drake London, wide receiver, USC. I'm not going to comment on how low that is, but it's low, Rush Nation. 16, Kenyon Green, offensive tackle, Texas A&M. 15, Chris Olave, wide receiver, Ohio State. 14, Jordan Davis, defensive lineman, Georgia. 13, Andrew Booth Jr., cornerback, Clemson. That feels a little low for me. 12, Matt Corral, cornerback, Ole Miss. And then finally, at 11, Ahmad Gardner, cornerback, Cincinnati. Am I right in thinking he never allowed a touchdown in his entire college career?
Yeah, it's correct, yes. We spoke about it in the Cincinnati-Bama review. Yeah, he's never allowed a touchdown against him, which, yeah, is crazy. He's such a great talent, and unsurprisingly, right there at 11. Most people are too low for you, but you do realise you can only have one person per position, right? Like,
This
is exactly what I'm saying. I think any of those 10 that you've just said from 20 to 11 could be in the top 10 themselves. That's how close a lot of these rankings are. I think 10 that we're going to talk about in a minute is a prime example of that. You could literally put 3 or 4 different players in the same position that he plays at 10, and you probably wouldn't be too annoyed about it.
Well, I mean, you and I both said that, well, when we last spoke about Drake London, we both had him as our number one wide receiver. So for me, I'm not going to ruin it, but the player at number 10 is a wide receiver. And for me, that would be Drake London. But
well, my individuals, I've got Drake London. I've got 3 wide receivers in a row. I've got Drake London, and then I've got the 2 Ohio State guys, Chris Olave, and our number 10, Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from Ohio State. I've literally got them 17, 18, 19. They're so close for me. I've got personal preference of Drake London, surprisingly, considering the other two guys play for the school that I support. But yeah, personal preference for me is Drake London, but it's an absolute knife edge between the three of them. So I've got no real complaints. I think the only complaint I have is how much higher Wilson is over everybody else. I think there's at 10, there's probably, for example, Amma Gardner, I would personally probably have, no, not Amma Gardner, Andrew Booth, I would have at 10 over him. Akeem Ekwunu, I would have over Garrett Wilson, but I can't also, I also can't complain about it. Garrett Wilson is one of the top wide receivers in this draft class, and I would be very shocked if he wasn't taken in the first round come April.
Yeah, and he saw it last year. We saw it last year with the wide receivers going early. Don't know how these teams value the position that they need. And it's not an unrealistic position at 10. It's just perhaps not my personal preference. And you're right, when I said players are too low, it's just because I value players completely different to how everyone else does. But that's why we do a consensus. Exactly. And it isn't just me ramming my thoughts down your ear canals.
Well, that's it, yeah. And Wilson's had a fantastic career for the Buckeyes. He's played in 32 games in three seasons, I believe it was, 143 receptions, 2,213 yards, 23 touchdowns. His production's been incredible. And it would have been higher this year if Chris Olave didn't come back. A lot of people were shocked that he decided to return for his super senior year. But even with Olave next to him, with all the other guys that have been around Wilson in his career at Buckeyes, he's still performed week in, week out, and has given us exceptional numbers. And I'll be honest, I don't think I've seen a bad game from him in a Buckeyes jersey.
Interesting.
Number 9 is an offensive tackle. That is a Charles Cross from Mississippi State. Now, I'm a massive fan of Charles Cross. He's only allowed 2 sacks in 12 games and 14 quarterback hurries in 2021-2022. He's just been a mainstay of the Mississippi State line. He's not, again, really ever had a bad game. Allowed minimal sacks across his whole career, not only in 2021, but in all of his time at Mississippi State. He just seems to handle himself so well. And I think the 9 is justified for that. He's not the top offensive lineman, spoiler alert, but I think we all know who the top offensive lineman is going to be. But for me, he is a top 10 player in this draft class. And I'm not surprised that he's landed at 9. At 8, we have another lineman. However, this time it is a center. That is Tyler Lindenbaum from Iowa. Remember I spoke about earlier, Iowa continue to produce players. You've got Tyler Lindenbaum at number 8. We've also got, who did we speak about earlier? I don't think we've, I'm sure we had another Iowa one in here. However, Tyler Lindenbaum is the best center in college football and in the 2022 draft class. He made 33 starts at Iowa. He won the Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year this year, and he was a consensus All-American. Now, you'll hear me say that a lot as we get down these top 10s because the majority of them are in there. The consensus All-American is awarded to the best player at each position. You've got the All-American team. You've also got the SEC teams, all of the different conferences, but this is the consensus across the whole of college football, the best player in each position. Tyler Lindenbaum, center from Iowa, was in the consensus All-American with 2021.
He is the only player from Iowa in our top 100. We've got Iowa State and Northern Iowa, but he's the only player from Iowa. Surprising.
Currently, yeah. But again, like I say, they continue to produce players, Iowa. Yep. And Lindenbaum is a prime example of that. He's going to go as well. In my opinion, as it shows here, he's going to be a top 10 pick and he will probably be a day one starter at center for someone. Number 7, George Karlaftis, edge from Purdue. That's the first one I've butchered there.
I think that's pronounced Karlaftis.
Karlaftis. Okay, we'll go with yours. George Karlaftis, edge from Purdue. Another dominant edge. I think it's a running theme as we get closer to the number one here. 26 games, 61 solo tackles, 36 assisted tackles, 29 tackles for loss, 14 sacks. He has missed time through injury, so being able to put those numbers up in his career at Purdue. When Purdue as well, up until this year, they haven't been one of the best teams, let's put it lightly.
Yep.
But Kalofdis has been one of the top performers week in, week out, without a doubt. And again, going to be another high pick. He's unfortunate the year that he's come out. That there's a couple of other edges that have peaked in probably to the number one. Number six, DeMarvin Leal, defensive lineman from Texas A&M. This guy is an absolute beast. Again, another consensus All-American for 2021. He's played 33 games in his career for Texas A&M, racked up 59 solo tackles, 74 assisted, 13 sacks and 25 tackle for loss. That is impressive for a defensive tackle to get 59 solos, 13 sacks, because a lot of them have their own... They're like, you've obviously got nose tackles that you don't see them getting sacks very much. But DeMarvin Leal is a freak of nature. He's an explosive, athletic, defensive tackle. Again, whoever picks him up, and I mean, we're getting into players now. Any one of these realistically could go number one if the right team was there. We know who the number one team is in the NFL draft now, but anyone from six to one, maybe not the next one just because of obviously health issues, but any of these next five guys really could well be the number one pick, starting with DeMarvin Leal. Number five, the guy I'm a bit unsure of, but you can't argue his success in college football up until this season. Derek Stingley, cornerback from LSU, the top cornerback in the class, in our opinion, in our top 100 opinion. He's had a couple of difficult seasons, 2021 in particular because of injuries, but of course, obviously LSU the last 2 years have had difficult seasons. But apart from injuries, Stingley has continued to impress. 25 games in total for LSU, 56 solo tackles, 6 interceptions. He was first team All-SEC in his freshman year and sophomore year. He was in the consensus All-American team in 2019. And of course, that LSU team won the national championship in 2019. Stingley is an incredible talent despite the injury concerns. All reports are pointing towards him being fully fit in time for the combine. I think if it wasn't for injuries, he'd probably be in more of a conversation as the top pick along like we had. I went to the Lions a couple of years ago. Buckeye. Why can't I remember his name? Cornerback. His name has gone from my head. He went number three.
Yep, he did. Give me a minute.
Jeff Acuna.
That's the one. Jeff Acuna.
Yeah, he would be in that. He'd be in that sort of conversation. Is it potentially a number one pick if it wasn't for the injuries and if it wasn't for how LSU performed? Because as much as we hate to see it, team performances do sometimes have an impact on players, probably more so to us than the actual NFL scouts. However, yeah, you can't exclude that from consideration. But Stingley, whenever he touched the field, he impressed. Just barring injuries, I think has had an impact on him, unfortunately. But yet he still sits at number five. That just shows his talent. Number four, Carl Hamilton, safety, Notre Dame. Again, as I say, this is a running theme. Just a spoiler alert. Everyone here now is the consensus All-American in 2021 at their position. But Carl Hamilton for Notre Dame, 97 solo tackles, 41 assists, 7.5 tackles for loss, 8 interceptions and a defensive touchdown in his career at Notre Dame. Obviously, he missed the bowl game this year. He decided to declare early and skip the bowl game. Best safety in the class, easily. In conversation as the number one pick. As I say, it's a toss-up between any of these guys that we've been speaking about as who's going to go number one. It's a bit more clear and now we know who the number one is. However, there's still a conversation to be had for any of these guys. And Carl Hamilton is in that conversation. Best safety in the class. It's not often that you see a safety this highly rated. It's usually an underappreciated position when it comes to NFL. But there's no ignoring Carl Hamilton's potential ability already. If he lands in the right position, he's going to be a day one starter, depending on where he lands, obviously. But I mean, if he's going this high in the draft, he's going to be a day one starter. And I think he will impress from the outset. We're into our top three. It has been, when I say close between all of these, it's an understatement. They vary between all of us. The consensus, again, I mean, there's an argument for any of these three to be the number one, more so than any of the others we've spoken about. But coming in at number three, Evan Neal, offensive tackle from Alabama. He allowed only 2 sacks and over 1,000 snaps last year. I've noticed it, but I managed to correct it. Only 2 sacks and over 1,000 snaps last year and 22 quarterback pressures in 2 seasons. He averaged fewer than 1 quarterback pressure allowed in 2 seasons at Bama. Obviously, the top offensive lineman in the country this year. I mean, again, instant lock-in starter at left tackle wherever he lands in the NFL. Exceptional talent. And yeah, I mean, I can't really say much more about him, to be honest with you. I think it's just, you just got to go and watch his tape. He dominates whoever he comes up against. Obviously, NFL.
And watch his tape.
Yeah, got to go and watch his tape. He's a shutout tackle, left tackle. I'm excited to see him next year. Coming up against NFL caliber edges is obviously going to be an experience for him, but I already feel he's going to be out of hand himself as a day one starter. And then probably more so now than it may have been 6 or so months ago, but one of the most spoken about conversations people are having at the moment, who is number one? It's a pair of edges. At number 2 for us currently in our top 100, we have Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. Now, for me, he is still the second best edge in the class. But this year, he has been dominant throughout. And the awards that he's won this year just shows how dominant he's been this year. He was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. He was in the All-American Consensus Team. He won the Ronnie Lott Trophy, which is the trophy for the Defensive Impact Player, its impact is an acronym for integrity, maturity, performance, academics, community, tenacity. So basically, the performances on the pitch and everything he's done off of the pitch has got him the Ronnie Lott Award. He won the Ted Hendricks Award, which is the best defensive end in college football. And he won the Lombardi Award, which is the best defensive lineman in college football. He's basically won almost every trophy, the award that can go to an individual player, barring the one that he was in contention for, the Heisman. But lights out season for Michigan. Lights out career. 85 solo tackles, 71 assists. The only thing missing, I wouldn't say missing because he's still got 17.5 sacks, but it's just been, yeah, dominant player. And along him in tandem with Ajoba this year, I mean, that was a frightening partnership up front. And I mean, they got to the playoffs on the back of that. I mean, me personally, and I'm sure a lot of people, nowhere near expecting that from Michigan this year, but Hutchinson was a big, big part of that. And I think he's well within, it's fair that he's in consideration for the number one overall pick. And for a lot of people now, and where, depending on where you look, he is the number one pick for, who is the number one pick? Is it
Jacksonville
Jaguars? Yeah. I think when it was the Lions, it was more likely. But I mean, they're just going number one, in my opinion. It's just depending on who you look at. Evan Neal is in consideration as the tackle, but I think realistically, it's going to be one of these two guys. Hutchinson for us overall is sat at number 2. And at number 1, I'm sure everyone has worked out by now, but it's Kayvon Thibodeaux, edge from Oregon. 30 games, 19 sacks. 84 tackles. He's at combined total assisted and solo. He's 126 tackles. Consensus All-American. He's been the number one since last season. Obviously alongside Rattler before Rattler imploded. But yeah, Thibodeaux's potential is phenomenal. He's got some flaws, as most of these guys do, but just the potential that's there, what he's shown on the pitch for Oregon, yeah, I think it's a justified number one at the moment. Looking at majority of our individual ones, he is 1 or 2 for everybody. Yeah, he's either 1 or 2 for everybody, and obviously as a result, he is 1 overall. Stocks is shaking his head.
No.
Disagree?
I'd have him at 3. My top 4 would be Evan Neal, Kyle Hamilton, Kayvon Thibodeau, and then I don't know whether I'd have Hutchinson at four or not. I'm not sure. He'd either be four or five with Stingley or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... Although he showed up in some games, Hutchinson, I'm a bit concerned about... He does go missing when he's absolutely needed. But it's not hugely apparent, but when he's needed in those big games, he hasn't lived up to the hype. And I just wonder whether if he doesn't get paired with another edge like he did when he was at Michigan, will that hugely hinder his production? But as only time will tell. And I don't know what Jacksonville Jaguars' main need is right now, but having watched a little bit of people talking on Facebook groups and stuff, you got to keep Trevor Lawrence upright. And if you're going to do that, then you pick Evan Neal.
Yeah, and I think, I alluded to that earlier. I think now the Jags are the number one pick, Evan Neal could well be the decision. And me personally, I wouldn't argue with that. I think Evan Neal is well within his right and to be the number one pick alongside Kyle Hamilton. And then also Hutchinson and Thibodeau for me. I think there are... All four of these you could put at number one, and I don't think many people would complain. They're all lock and loaded starters, ready to go. I agree with you on Hutchinson that he can disappear at times in games, and he's obviously had a Joba next to him, but I think just his overall the strengths outweigh the weaknesses in his overall game. But this is gonna look widely different in a month to 2 months time. As our long-term listeners will know, we did top 100 last year. I think we did three or four different editions across from January up until the draft, and barring the top guys, it changed dramatically. And I can see the same happening again this year as people start to come up from watching the tape and the Senior Bowl, the individual pro days, the combine. This is just our first initial reaction from the season and from the players individually that we've seen over the last couple of years. And we will get into the players from 100 to 11 in the player profiles and in future episodes as we get more deep dive into positional players, players from conferences. This is just a brief view of all of these players that we wanted to get out to you guys.
Absolutely. Ash, when's too early for a mock draft? Like a live podcast mock draft?
It's never too early for a mock draft.
Because I've had a couple of people message me saying really enjoyed the live first round mock draft we did last year. So yeah. we need to get involved with that.
I reckon we could. So everything outside of the playoffs, the divisional rounds, is now set in terms of the draft, isn't it? So I reckon we could probably do one in a couple of weeks' time, maybe even next week if people are feeling lucky.
If you're feeling lucky. yeah. I'm assuming there's a game tonight, NFL roulette-wise, right? Maybe
there is one more game. Rams-Cardinals, I believe, is the final game of the wild card, is it not?
How did the Steelers do against the Chiefs, Ash? I genuinely haven't.
You generally haven't, or you just try.
No, I honestly haven't seen.
Yeah, didn't go well. Mahomes had a field day. Scored five touchdowns in 12 minutes or something like that.
What?
42-21 it finished.
Good. I'm going to have to go and watch that. That sounds...
Yeah. Yeah, I think Mahomes five touchdowns in 12 minutes, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Apologies for asking.
I mean, no. I'll be completely honest with you. I was expecting us to lose. I was just pleased that we got into the playoffs because it wasn't looking likely a few weeks ago. We got in there. Chiefs were always going to be a tall order, and that was apparent from the outset. They dismantled us, unfortunately.
TJ
Watt still played well, though, so that's good.
That's
Defensive player of the year. Come on.
Gotta be, surely.
Has to be.
I saw a really good, interesting article on why he should be NFL MVP, because when he plays for the Steelers are a different team. So when he doesn't play, they're dreadful. And when he plays, they're not as bad. So
yeah. I would love to see that happen, but you
interesting.
Know.
Yeah, never going to happen, is it? Never.
Nah, it's the QVP, not the MVP.
Exactly that. Well, there was as Ash said, a brief look into our top 100. If there is interest from the staff for the mock draft next week, maybe we should crash into that. Let's see how the week chat goes on the group before then. But it's not like we won't have a podcast for you next week, Rush Nation. There will be a podcast. It might be a mock. It might not. We'll see how it goes. Ash, fantastic to have you back, mate. Honestly, pleased you're back.
Love to be back.
Don't sign up for a mock draft next week and then not be available, because that would be absolute murder. But we should point out that, well, I say we should point out, it's not hugely time specific what we're doing now, is it, Ash? Because we are, because of Ash's battles into Middle Earth, we are recording this on a Monday night. And we're debating on whether to get it out on a Wednesday or a Monday night. So if you have a preference, Rush Nation, and you are listening and you would rather hear us on a Monday rather than a Wednesday, hit us up at 5 Yard College or 5 Yard Rush at gmail.com. Let us know if you have a preference on day, and we can release it whenever you feel fit, because it's draft season, so we can be a little bit more flexible with release times and stuff. How does that sound, partner?
Sounds great. Yeah. All over that.
Good stuff. Well, we'll dive into the mock draft cab and see what happens, Rush Nation. Don't forget, head over to the website for the articles, 5yardrush.co.uk. Fantasy season has finished, but there is still loads of dynasty stuff going on right now towards the draft. The 5 Yard College boys will be making an appearance sooner or later on 5 Yard Dynasty, so look out for that if you're interested in your offensive players for your fantasy teams. But otherwise, that's it for another Monday. It feels weird to say Monday and not Wednesday, because we did Wednesdays for a while, but the top 100 was fun. I need to get involved. I'm going to go and start doing it now, because I did the top four on the fly there, Ash. But it's going to take me a little longer than that, because once we get to the defensive players, I sort of have to have a read about and watch. Well,
you'll have a bit of an easier time now, because the cutoff for declaration is today, and just today. So for insight for our listeners, we had to change about 6 or 7 players that have all declared, and people missed or have only just declared. So yeah, once that's done, that'll be great. If people could stop declaring, stop going back to school, should I say, that'll be fantastic.
Absolutely. Rush Nation, it's been a blast as always. Saturdays are for Russian too.
HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.